Hello and welcome to The Automators. I'm David Sparks and joined by my co-host, Rosemary Orchard. Hello, Rosemary. How are you today?
I'm excited, David. We're doing a showdown episode. We don't do these very often because, you know, there's too many good apps out there. But, you know, it felt like it was time.
Yeah, we've been talking about setup apps for a long time. Both of us are big fans of it. We're going to explain why in a minute. But there's more than one way to skin this cat. Oh boy, I'm going to get email for that one. But there's a lot of ways to deal with this. So we have several options planned. Rosemary and I have been doing experiments and prepping for the show for a while. So I'm really happy that we get to share it with you. Mm-hmm. Before we start, if you are an Automators Max subscriber, that's the folks helping support us with a membership. They get an ad-free extended version of the show. Today in Automators Max, we're going to be talking about Apple Intelligence First Look. It's out there.
Yeah.
Rose and I have done the thing where we installed the betas. I'm not going to admit publicly that I have where all I have installed it. But let's just say it's on many places, and I'm now using Apple Intelligence. We're going to talk about what we're doing with it. So that will be fun.
Yes. Yes, it will. And before we get there, we're going to talk about setup apps and why they're awesome. But I think even before we get to that, we probably need to talk about what a setup app is, don't we, David?
Yeah, I mean, a setup to me is a simple method to switch contexts on your computer. I mean, we all have different things we do on our computers. Maybe you like to journal in day one, and you've got a time when you have like your Photos app and day one open, and you're sitting there doing your journaling. Or maybe you make podcasts like we're doing right now. Or maybe you write sales proposals. Or maybe, you know, whatever it is you do on your computer, there's different things we all have. And the point from idea to execution takes too long. You know, when you decide, oh, I want to edit photos right now. So you got to get, you know, your Photoshop open. You got to get your Photos file open. You got to, you know, you gotta get all the pieces in place. A setup allows you to push a button virtually or physically and have your computer just go and put all that together for you. And
yes,
that's why we're big fans of it. You push a button and you're off to work.
Yes. And for me, there's a couple of things I'd like to add to that. You know, it's also to an extent, not entirely, but to an extent, about getting rid of the things that aren't going to be relevant for the thing that I'm now doing. So this is especially important when, for example, I get a call at work, somebody wants to talk to me, and then I need to share a screen. I can easily, you know, flip things around and set things up in a way that's going to be easy for me to share my screen because I have an ultra-wide monitor. So if I try and share a 32-inch ultra-wide monitor onto somebody who's got, say, a 24-inch monitor, they've got black bars at the top and the bottom and everything's super small. So, you know, I have to, you know, move the applications that I'm most likely to want to share over to my laptop screen, which is 15 inches. That's a nice size for sharing. And so on. So, you know, it's about, you know, putting things in the right place. And another thing that I have found over time is subcontexts. So, for example, that screen sharing doesn't mean that I'm done with work and I want to get rid of all of the, you know, applications that I usually use day to day for, you know, programming and so on. No, it just means that I need a few extra things and things to move around a little bit. And I found this to be incredibly useful for a lot of things because I don't necessarily need to completely step out of the realm or the zone or the area that I'm currently working in. Sometimes I just need to add a layer to it. You know, sort of, you know, it's like if you draw a curtain over a thing so you can't see it anymore, you know, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just drawing a curtain. I'm going to do this for a bit and then I'm done with that, get rid of those things and back to what I'm doing. And the advantage of all of these automations for me is I'm not there with Adobe InDesign open, but I don't have access to the assets that I need, or vice versa. I haven't found the assets, and then they're going, I need to sit and wait for Adobe InDesign to open, because even with a, you know, an M1 Pro, it takes a moment. So it is just about getting everything together, bringing all of those different elements and things that you might want to use together in a way that means that you don't ever have to go off digging in a particular folder for a thing. You know, when you click on OmniFocus, it's already in the right project, or you click on Obsidian, it's already in the right vault or folder and things like that, just because then the information is already at hand. So at least for me, I don't end up going, ooh, squirrel, quite so much.
Yeah, it's just a hugely useful focus tool for me, where When I change work modes, I don't have any excuse but to get on with the new work because the computer is sitting there waiting for me with everything I need open. And the automation skills required to do this are not exhaustive. We're going to go through various platforms today, and I would suggest you try some of them and figure out which one works for you. But to begin with, this can be as simple as saying, like I said at the beginning, put photos on the left side and put day one on the right side, you know, or put my Word document on the right side and put Safari on the left side. It can be that simple, but you can go really down the rabbit hole on this stuff. But even the rabbit hole is not that deep because it's things like open this URL or open this specific document. You know, that kind of stuff is not really hard with automation. And we're hoping that people who don't have setups by the end of this show will be inspired this weekend to go make a few.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's so many great apps that you can use for this as well. And it is one of those things where I feel like it's worth taking a minute or two before you just dive in and pick, you know, one app and go, I'm going to do this with Alfred, just to think, what actually do I need? And therefore, what tools are available to me? And what do I, you know, what do I need to have available? Because, for example, if you potentially need to be able to add calendar events, then you're probably going to be wanting to look at using Shortcuts or Keyboard Maestro, because those have tools built into them for that. Whereas, you know, if you're looking to run, you know, various scripts and so on, then, you know, maybe, you know, Shortcuts might be the right tool, might not be the right tool, depending on, you know, how you prefer to do things. So it's worth having a little minute, I'm going to say, of thinking time. No spending hours of preparation on this, but have a little minute of thinking time of, you know, what do I think I need here before you just dive into it. But at the same time, you know, you can migrate these things. It's not that difficult. All of the, you know, tools and so on tend to exist across most of the apps that we're going to talk about. You know, there are some apps that we're not necessarily going to dive deep on into today for this particular, you know, it's you know, episode, but you can use things like Raycast or Alfred to do this with, you know, Alfred's workflows in particular. But, you know, you have choices. And I think that that is one of the things that makes, you know, this sort of automation great, because it's so easy to personalize to you, the individual, but also anybody who's there going, ooh, I'm a little bit worried. This sounds like it's going to be complex. Don't worry. These are going to be very simple actions for the most part.
Yeah. In fact, I want to start with one of the simplest ways to do this. I didn't really believe in setups with Shortcuts until a Labs member challenged me to say, hey, I don't want to get one of these fancy tools or learn them. Can you just show me how to do this with Shortcuts? And over the last few years, as Shortcuts for the Mac got more powerful, it really has become absolutely possible to do something like this. And I'm going to share a link in the show notes for a very simple Shortcut setup that I have. And this is kind of picking up on the theme, you catch up with me here, of journaling with day one and photos, because I keep talking about that today. So I made one, and it's really not that hard with the Mac tools and Shortcuts. And these are largely exclusive to Mac and Shortcuts. It's one of those things. I think it's a total of six steps. And the first one is hide all apps. Okay. So you create a Shortcut called journaling. The first step is hide all applications. So that's easy enough. You don't want anything on your screen. Like Rose said earlier, you want to clear the screen before you start filling it with your work. So there's a command for that, hides all the apps. It's not closing the apps, it's hiding them, which means you're not going to lose data or anything. Your screen will just clear for you. Everything will be down in the dock. The next one for me is I turn on a personal focus mode. Now, this is an option, but I put it on here because I like it. When I'm journaling, I'm in personal mode. I'm not in work mode. So I use the personal focus and I turn it on until it's turned off. All day long, my focus modes are jumping around, and we've done episodes on that already. So all I've done so far is hide all apps, turn on the personal mode. Next thing I do is I open the day one application. Surprise, right? There's two apps I'm using, day one and photos. But first you open day one, then the step after that, this is important you get it in the right order, is you use the move window command. There is a move app to, and I put it in the left side. So I say move app to middle left. You want to put that right after you open the application. It's important that you have these in the right order. Mm-hmm. And then the last two steps are the exact same, but for photos. I open Photos and I move it to the middle right. And we'll put a link in the notes where you can just download and add the shortcut to your shortcuts, and then you can start changing it. So like, let's say you wanted to do the left and right screen thing, but instead of with Photos and Day One, you want to do it with OmniFocus and email. You could do that. Just change the app names and you've got a fully working script here. You can duplicate it, you know, run it as many times as you want. I do recommend if you do something like this with shortcuts that you give it an easily recallable name. For me, I set them all up as setup dash and then the task. So then if I'm using like Alfred or any of the other many ways you can launch shortcuts, I have an easy way to remember what they are. And so I have a folder and I filled it with them. This is all done with shortcuts. I can talk in a minute about a little bit more complex methodology for this and how to use shortcuts to go a little bit deeper. But honestly, this is enough. If you just take this one shortcut, you're off to the races.
Yes. And I think that's one of the things that is, you know, really great about this sort of thing. You know, you can go super deep and you can have like custom Apple scripts running things, and you can have, you know, it popping up a dialogue or a menu and saying, hey, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? But you can also just have a button that does a thing. And of course, you know, thanks to a variety of different Stream Deck plugins, you can even then add that shortcut straight into your Stream Deck and have that as an icon on your Stream Deck screen. Personally, any shortcuts that I have related to my setup stuff, I also, as well as prefixing it with that name, because if you just search, then you don't always necessarily see the folder name, but I also put them in a folder called setup, because then I know that these are Mac shortcuts. You know, it tends nowadays not to be so much that if you open one of the Mac shortcuts on an iPhone and accidentally do something that it gets broken, that tends not to happen anymore. But just this way, then I know it's a Mac thing. You know, if I find it while I'm searching on my iPhone for a shortcut, that's not the shortcut I am looking for.
Yeah. One of the challenges with doing it in shortcuts, and I don't want this to come off wrong, because you, like I said earlier, you can absolutely do this with shortcuts. I'm sometimes really tempted just to move all them into shortcuts, because, you know, the advantages are that it just works with built-in software. And like the window moves always seem to follow the app opening. In some of the other apps, like the commands come too quickly and it gets confused. Mm-hmm. Shortcuts, it does a better job because it's at system level, I think, does a better job with some of this execution. But one of the challenges of doing it with shortcuts, I think, is window management. The built-in window management tools are limited. Like it's, you know, you get the quadrants basically, and the middles and the left and the right. But if you want to do something more exotic with window management, it's more difficult. The workaround that I have kind of landed on for this is the application Moom, M-O-O-M. And they have Apple script support. So you can create a window arrangement move, save it as a preset, and then call it as an Apple script in shortcuts. So that's like a way to kind of fix that. It is a little bit of a hack, right? Anytime you put Apple script into shortcut, you know, it always feels a little hacky to me. But that's a good way to solve the problem if you're willing to buy one third-party application.
Yes. And what I will do for folks who are there going, oh, Moom, that sounds interesting, I'll put a link to Moom in the show notes. But I will also put a link, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, to the Bunch documentation, because the Bunch documentation shows how easy it is to write the Apple script for Moom, so that you can just, it's one line, people. You can copy and paste it, I promise. You will figure it out. You do not need to be a scripting genius. You just need to be able to copy and paste and type the name of your Moom setup as well. What I like about Moom in particular is I can, you know, resize things. It works across multiple monitors and so on as well. And then I can reuse that if I, you know, if I do put a setup into a different application, then I can, you know, easily, you know, continue to use my Moom layout for Windows instead of, you know, the having to figure out how do I do this now. You know, I had this setup in Keyboard Maestro with its window positioning, and now I have to, you know, figure out how to do that with shortcuts and so on. It's, you know, it's splitting it up, you know, turning it into like miniature functions, which, you know, sometimes works very well and sometimes maybe, you know, isn't exactly what you want. But, you know, for me, that works nicely.
So getting ready for this show, I wanted to really kick the tires on shortcuts. So like I said, we've been talking about this show for a long time. So over the course of a month, I built 20 different shortcuts that are all setup-based shortcuts that I can run from shortcuts on my Mac. Like, they started with this simple journaling one. That's the first one I made. But just to give you a list, I have one for downtime, comms, email processing, journaling, news feeds, daily planning, monthly planning, automators ad recording, automators recording, lab report recording, which is the podcast I do in the labs, new labs posts, sponsor work, blog, focused recording, focused ad recording, Obsidian work. You know, so I just went through and all the various kind of setups I used during the day, I built these out over the course of about a month. And all of this was done in shortcuts. It's not quite as powerful as Keyboard Maestro. And ultimately, I still run them out of Keyboard Maestro because I have Keyboard Maestro. I have finely tuned them. But if I was just doing this from scratch, I'm not sure I would be all that inclined to go that extra step. I think if you're starting this from scratch, building these in shortcuts is probably the end point for you. And if Keyboard Maestro blew up and fell off the face of the earth, I think my setups would be just as good, almost running them out of shortcuts. So the challenge was accepted in the labs. And I'll tell you, you absolutely can build these setups right in your shortcuts app. And again, I just can't tell you how useful it is as you go through the day. This is something that is particularly good with a Stream Deck, I think, because I have a bunch of buttons on my Stream Deck. I push a button and it sets up, but you don't need to do it that way. You can trigger it from the keyboard as well.
Yeah, the thing that's also important to remember about shortcuts is if you want to do things like control your focus mode and so on, you're going to have to tie into shortcuts anyway to do that. You know, even though I don't necessarily use shortcuts for a lot of my setups and so on, what I do have is I have shortcuts actions for turning on particular focus modes, because that's something that I can then run through Bunch or Keyboard Maestro or the command line or, you know, AppleScript if I want to. I have a lot of ways of running those shortcuts, which is great. And that then means that I can, you know, turn on and off focus modes and do things like that as well, because those things are not necessarily available to other apps. So it is, you know, you, at some point, if you want to use all of the things, you know, or have all the features, you may end up realizing that you are using multiple apps. And personally, I'm okay with that. I like that. But yeah, if you want to just keep it down to one app, then maybe you're going to have to use shortcuts if you want things like focus modes involved.
This episode of The Automators is brought to you by ExpressVPN. High-speed, secure, and anonymous VPN services. Get an extra 3 months for free. Just go to expressvpn.com/automators. If I'm just browsing online for work or just my own downtime, I don't like the idea of every little thing I'm searching for being recorded. I know a lot of people feel that way too, and so they might turn to incognito mode. But did you know incognito mode is not enough to hide your browsing history? Check the fine print. All your online activity is still visible unless you use ExpressVPN. Without ExpressVPN, third parties can still see every website you visit, even in incognito mode. That could be your internet service provider, your mobile network provider, the admins of your Wi-Fi network. And the good news is ExpressVPN reroutes 100% of your traffic through secure, encrypted servers, so third parties can't see your browsing history. It's easy to use. Just fire up the app and click one button to get protected. Plus, it works on all devices, including phones, laptops, tablets, and more, so you can stay private and on the go. It's easy to see why ExpressVPN was rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. I just got back from London, and I was using other people's Wi-Fi the whole trip, and you can bet I was on ExpressVPN the entire time. I don't like people tracking what I'm doing, and I don't want to become the product. That's why ExpressVPN is there. It protects me. You install the app, you click one button, and you're protected. So protect yourself online today by visiting expressvpn.com/automators. That's expressvpn.com/automators, and you can get an extra 3 months for free. So just go to expressvpn.com/automators to learn more. And our thanks to ExpressVPN for their support of the Automators and all of Relay FM. Rose, you are a particular fan of Brett Terpstra's app Bunch, which is really, at its barest description, a setup application. Tell us about Bunch.
So Bunch is very simple. So if folks are familiar with Markdown and how simple Markdown is, you know, you put underscores or stars around a word to make it italic and two underscores or two stars around a word to make it bold, things like that. You'll already be more than capable enough of writing Bunch files because, and this is one of the things I love about Bunch, all of your setups in Bunch are files that end with the word .bunch. Yay! So it's a little application. It lives in your menu bar, and it has a folder that it reads, and there can be subfolders in there. And these are the setups that then appear in the menu. And if you use subfolders, you can organize them and things like that. There's front matter, which goes at the top of the file that says, hey, I want to like prefix this with like, you know, this emoji, or everything with these tags comes, you know, should, you know, have, you know, this other thing or whatever. And you can get very, very nerdy with it. But one of the things that I absolutely love is being able to just open all of my Bunch files. And I tend to do this either in BBEdit or Visual Studio Code. You can open a folder in either of those applications, but then I can search. And so I can find everything that says anything about Automators by just searching that whole folder. And that is something that I struggle to do with shortcuts in particular, because I have to open every single shortcut and scroll up and down until I find everywhere where I've mentioned Firefox or Safari or something like that. And that's where that gets a little bit tricky and frustrating. And sometimes if I want to make, you know, a bigger change, maybe I'm switching to using Safari Technology Preview for the time being. Well, actually, what I can do in Bunch is I can say, hey, my default browser is Safari Technology Preview. Open everything in that, unless I have specifically said this thing should open in Chrome, this thing should open in Edge, etc., because I can do that too. And yeah, you just write some text and tell it what to do. It's pretty simple. So like a sample Bunch file could just, you know, have basically almost just a list of app names in it. And that would that pretty much be it. There are a whole bunch of sample bunches on the website, which I will link to as well, just because that will probably be quite helpful for people who are there going, ooh, I like the sound of this.
Okay, let me interrupt there. Okay, so Rose, let me interrupt there for a second. Just walk us through some basics before we get into the details. So just tell us, if you were going to use Bunch and you wanted to, let's do my journaling thing. Day one on one side, photos on the other side. How would you do that with Bunch?
Well, to start with, in Bunch, you would write day one on a line, day and one, both having capital letters at the start. Then you would type on another line, photos, underneath it. And that will start by opening your two apps. Okay, so that's very simple. And then when it comes to moving windows around, I use Bunch for this, but there are some other options. So actually going back to the start of your sample shortcut, you can actually hide all of your open applications in Bunch. You do that by typing, I'm just double checking what it is, @@, so the @ symbol or the @ symbol twice on a line. And that hides everything.
Okay.
And then I would run a shortcut to turn on the focus mode, because that's something that you can't really do in apps that aren't shortcuts. And then day one on a line, photos on a line. And then for moving windows around, I always use Moom for this. And I'm just trying to double check. I don't believe that Bunch has... it does not have window management features where it moves windows around. So they recommend either using Moom or something like Keyboard Maestro for that. So after that, then I'd have a star on a line and tell application Moom to set journaling. Yeah. So start my journaling setup, and that would be it basically.
How would you call the focus mode shortcut from Bunch?
So you put in brackets. So you start open bracket and then SC lowercase for shortcut. And then you put the name of your shortcut and then you close the bracket, and that's it.
Yeah.
Just one single line. And then I can see everywhere that I'm calling the same shortcut as well, because I can search for a shortcut name and I'll find everywhere that calls it, which is also nice if I, you know, go on a little renaming kick and change all of my shortcuts.
I mean, that's one of the big advantages of Bunch, is that it's just a block of text. You know, when you're done, what Rose just described is like six lines of text. And it's so easy to copy and paste it. Like if you build it successfully and you want to make a different one, you can duplicate it or copy that text, paste it somewhere else and just make a few little changes and you're going. And so I spent time with Bunch too. And I feel like it really is additive as you learn to build them. It gets very quickly, you get the ability to make many of them because it's the same tricks over and over again.
Yes. Yeah. And also, you know, with the beauty that is the internet, a little bit of copy and paste goes a very long way. So, you know, you can either duplicate a bunch that you've already made, or you can copy one of the sample ones, or some people have published theirs online. Brett Terpstra obviously has shared a whole bunch as they are, as this is his app. And, you know, it's very easy to, you know, just copy something, paste it, and ta-da, you have a bunch ready to use. And then so you can click in the menu bar and then activate a bunch there. Or Bunch also has integrations with Stream Deck and it's got Apple Script support as well, which means that then you can call it through Keyboard Maestro or Apple Script itself or shortcuts. Yeah, there's all of the options to run a bunch as well.
Yeah, and so I think Bunch easily matches the shortcuts capabilities, although sometimes it feels a little awkward. Right. Because you do have to call a shortcut out of a bunch, or, you know, it's like it's a little weird where shortcuts is so self-contained. But to me, the advantage of Bunch is when you get all those additional features, because there's a lot you can do with Bunch that you just honestly can't do with shortcuts, short of writing some pretty exotic Apple scripts.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, there's things like, for example, being able to keep your machine awake. So obviously, if you've got an app like Amphetamine installed or something that has Apple Script support, you can use that. But Bunch also just has a native feature for keeping your machine awake. It also has native features for turning on dark mode or quitting everything. So if you do want to, you know, go, you know, full in and say, no, I'm quitting every single application and starting over in this particular focus mode, that's what's happening. You can do that. It's got actions for wallpaper, changing audio inputs and outputs. That's pretty special. You know, I personally am absolutely in love with Sound Source from Audio Hijack. And we did have Paul on the show a little while ago talking about this. But if I wasn't using Audio Hijack for this, which again, I have those in a shortcut, which I run through Bunch. And that predates actually the audio controls within Bunch. But if I didn't have that, then I could just do that directly in Bunch if I wanted to.
Yeah. Another one you can do that I use, because I do a lot of screencasting. I need to hide the dock when I record, because I want to leave my dock there. You just say open parenthesis, lowercase, hide space dock, close parenthesis. And that's a command to hide the dock. It's got a whole series of commands you can drop in, which is really clever. Yes. And again, it's just plain text. You're looking at it. It's obvious what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing that I like about Bunch is I can schedule bunches. So you can say that this should open at, you know, the same times every day, or, you know, when it should close. So if you want to turn off a bunch, because every bunch that turns on can also turn off. Now, you don't have to have it able to turn on and off. You can turn off toggling, which is what it's called, because, you know, you run it to turn it on, but when you run it to turn it off, it will then, you know, close the applications that it's opened or the folders that it's shown in Finder and things like that, which I find is incredibly helpful. You can also actually even say, hey, so if this is running and it's starting, so it's turning on, do this. And if it's turning off, do that, which for me is very useful for my shortcut to turn on my focus modes. When it's turning on, I run one shortcut. When it's turning off, I use another shortcut. And that sort of thing becomes, you know, very handy once you spend a little of time playing with it. You know, for a while, I wasn't using the toggles and being able to turn off bunches. I was just trying to wrap my head around it for a little bit. But then I figured out, okay, no, yeah, I really want to be able to just say, I'm done with this, undo what I did to get set up, basically, and bam, I'm back to how I was, which is really nice.
Yeah, you know, I played with the idea of using focus modes to trigger setups, but it just didn't really work for me because I have a lot more setups than focus modes. And it makes more sense for me to trigger a setup and then have the focus mode triggered by that. But you can go either way with this, and you can do that with any of these applications. When I was testing Bunch, one of the things I just never found really a good excuse to schedule a setup. To me, it really is kind of like the, you know, the act of sitting down and pushing the button and, you know, kind of feeling like it's on like Donkey Kong, you know, and having the screen set up and like, okay, let's go. It's set up. Let's go. And so I never really did really take advantage of the scheduling features in Bunch.
Mm. Yeah, I don't necessarily go full in on the scheduling, but what I do is close after. So I can say for a Bunch, hey, so when I start this, so for example, I started our Automators podcasting Bunch. I started it about 32 minutes ago. In another 2 hours, it's going to automatically stop and it will do things like close audio, hijack and close Zoom and so on. Now, we don't record for 2.5 hours. So that 2.5 hours, I've built a safety in there. And also when Bunch closes apps, it's doing like the close menu. It's not going force quit this application. So Audio Hijack pops up and it's like, hey, you're still recording. Do you really want to quit? If, you know, for some reason, maybe I turn the Bunch on, you know, a couple of hours in advance instead of when I should have. I really like the fact that I can say, hey, so if this is still open after a couple of hours, just turn it off, I'm done. Like, you know, just assume that I finished and I had to run and I forgot to turn it off or something. And that is very nice.
Yeah. And I would probably argue that Bunch, of all of the tools we're talking about today, is the most powerful for creating setups because, number one, it comes from the mind of Brett Terpstra. And number two, it's really made for this exact purpose. It's made to create setups. And when you start going through the documentation, we're going to put a link in the notes to the documentation. And if you're Bunch curious, I recommend kind of clicking through this. I mean, he's added so many options. Like you can force keystrokes. You can add front matter to your document, which is a kind of metadata. You can use snippets, tags, variables. I mean, the only really downside of Bunch that I discovered was window management. You know, it doesn't really have a built-in window management system, as Rose was saying earlier. There is a limited window management feature out of Shortcuts. There is better window management out of Keyboard Maestro. But Brett kind of solves it if you're willing to get an app like Moom. And honestly, if you're going to buy Bunch, buy Moom too. Moom is under $10 and it's great, you know?
And Bunch is free.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are donations optionally available, but you don't actually have to pay for Bunch, which is, you know, very generous of Brett. And, you know, there's, you know, a lot of nice features that are available here. And, you know, there's all sorts like, you know, when this application opens as part of this, I want to focus it. So, you know, you could be opening 7 different applications, but this one's the one I want focused. And you don't have to put it at the end of your list. Yeah. And you can also say, hey, you know, I've got 10 things here. Do them all at the same time. Execute them in parallel. Or no, it's very important. I want these to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so you can do it sequentially. And you do have the option of that really fine-grained control, but you also don't have to. And also for any applications that are a little bit finicky, maybe they don't necessarily have great Mac support. And I say Mac support deliberately because apps don't come with Bunch support. If they're good Mac apps, then Bunch can do a whole bunch with them. You get it? As it is, like there is the option of delaying things in Bunch as well. So you can say, hey, do this 5 seconds later. Like, give me 5 seconds or pause for 15 seconds and then go and do the next part. So, for example, if you're launching Affinity Publisher, you can wait 15 seconds and then you can, you know, execute a workflow or whatever it is that you want. Because, you know, some applications do need, you know, a little bit of time to get started and get ready. And, you know, Bunch has got a fairly nice way of handling that, I have to say. It's not as powerful as Keyboard Maestro's, you know, wait until, you know, the app window title is this, or, you know, this image appears on screen, but this gets around I found like 95% of any issues with applications that maybe don't quite have everything that you might want in a Mac app, but you still need to use anyway.
Yeah. It runs conditional logic. So it really is powerful. Another thing that it does really well, which you can do with shortcuts, but not as elegantly or as easily, is you can have it not just open Safari, but open specific websites or URL schemes. Mm-hmm. You can have it open specific documents in your whatever document app-based application you're running. I feel like the logic I would use here, if you're curious about this stuff, if you just want to go to the nerdy level, check out Bunch and Keyboard Maestro. If you want to start easy, start with AppleScript. But if you find yourself banging into the ceiling of it and it's not giving you quite what you want, that's where these apps step up.
Yes. Yeah. So one of the things that I'm doing with all of my podcast recording bunches is I have them open an OmniFocus URL scheme. And so it's OmniFocus :// and then folder/, you know, the folder, so that it's open. So when I started recording Automators, it opened OmniFocus to my Automators folder. So I have OmniFocus, but then I click on OmniFocus in my doc. It's like, oh yeah, that's Automators. Great. Perfect. You know, now I see the Automators things and I can check off that I've recorded the ads for this episode and so on and so forth. And that to me is where this becomes very powerful. Now you can run URL schemes with shortcuts as well. You know, that's available there and it's available to Keyboard Maestro. Also if I search for OmniFocus in my bunch folder, I'm going to find all of the OmniFocus app opens as well as calling URL schemes and so on. And to me, that's where, you know, this gets, you know, very nice in a, I did something a little bit ambitious somewhere. Maybe it was a little too ambitious, you could say. Because this happens. We're automators. Maybe sometimes we go out on a bit of a limb. And sometimes that limb is not necessarily great for supporting our weight, or we forgot the safety tether, whatever it is. Yeah. Being able to just search your whole folder and be able to go, aha, that's where I messed up with, you know, calling this OmniFocus URL or something. You know, and that works really well for me. And also the fact that I can have snippets in Bunch, which are essentially functions that you can reuse across multiple bunches. So for podcasting, all of my podcasting has, you know, some similar core steps that I would like to happen. And so I have a podcasting bunch snippet, which, you know, when, you know, what that does is it does the same thing for all of the podcasting. But then I don't have to write the same logic three times. And that's really, really nice. You could do that with scripts as well. But I like the bunch snippets because they're just the exact same syntax. So that works very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Bunch is a real option. And as you've heard from us here, there's just it really runs deep and there's a lot of things you can do with it. One of the things I spent time when I first started familiarizing myself with the app is looking at the sample scripts that Brett gives you on the website. And those had almost everything I needed, right, to build it. So don't be intimidated by it. Just look through the sample ones and look at that in combination with the documentation. And this is a little nerdy, granted. Like, there will be some people that don't want to do this. But if you go down that rabbit hole, you will be rewarded with a lot of power. And that's kind of fun. But listening to this, you kind of know, right? If you're listening, like, do I just want to make it simple with shortcuts, which does like 90% of this stuff? Or do I want to go all the way to something like Bunch or Keyboard Maestro, which goes 110%?
Yes.
You know, every time I say that, you know, every time I say 110%, somebody writes me about that. They're like, why do you say that? That's not even possible.
Well, you know, because we're having fun. And that's kind of the point of what we're doing here. Speaking of having fun, if you do want to talk to other people about Bunch, obviously the Automators Forums is always very happy to have people talk about all the automation options. But Bunch does have its own discussion forums on GitHub, and I'll put a link to those in the show notes as well. Because there's some really good things that you can find there through search. And sometimes, you know, people have had feature requests and so on, which have ended up, you know, making it in. I've had a few of those before. And sometimes you're there going, did I do something wrong? Did I do something right? And you can just have a search and have a look, or you can open a new discussion, which is like a new thread post. Ask, and Brett and other users will pop around and give you a hand, which is always nice when there's a community around automation tools. This episode of Automators is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help you find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. Whenever I've been looking for a job or I've been looking at people, I've always wanted to know all of those details that maybe don't necessarily make it into an official CV that make that person interesting or that job right for me. And using the right hiring tool is really important because it allows you to see things like that as well as the other information. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. It helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn also knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. That's why they're constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. It's easy to see why 2.5 million small businesses use LinkedIn for hiring. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/automators. That's linkedin.com/automators to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, I want to talk for a minute about Keyboard Maestro, because Keyboard Maestro is where I originally stumbled into the idea of setups. And this goes back many years, but I always want, you know, this idea of contextual computing where, like I said, my computer just sets itself up, makes everything necessary so I can really focus on the work. And before there was Shortcuts for the Mac and before there was Bunch, Keyboard Maestro existed. And it is a very powerful tool. You can do almost any kind of automation on your Mac with Keyboard Maestro. And that was the original place that I built the setups in. I have like 30 of them in a Keyboard Maestro folder. And it is, I will say, somewhere in between Shortcuts and Bunch, I think, generally. It definitely gives you more power than Shortcuts, but it is not a custom-built tool for making setups. And it is perfectly adequate to build out your setups with it. If you're already a Keyboard Maestro user, I think this is a good place to consider doing it. And honestly, Momentum is what kept me doing it with Keyboard Maestro for so long. I want to talk more about what I'm going to be doing going forward towards the end of the show. But Keyboard Maestro is the first place I started, and it has all the necessary commands, like hide all applications, just like we talked about in Shortcuts, or the two at symbols and Bunch. They've got a command in Keyboard Shortcut. So that's so often for me the starting point of any setup automation, no matter what platform I'm building it in, is hide everything. You know, give me a blank screen. Mm-hmm. But in Shortcuts, then you can do things. You can activate applications like Safari, and you can point it at specific websites, or you can open specific files. Like if you have a Keynote file you work on every Monday, you can have it open that Keynote file or a sales document or whatever. It does have window management tools. They are not, I think, ideal, honestly. You know, it's very hard-coded. Like you're saying, start at this pixel and end at this pixel. They also have built-in ones like the left side of the screen kind of stuff. But I have found that sometimes when you change display resolution, it gets confused. And I'm frequently changing display resolution because of podcasting and screencasting. But if you keep the same display all the time, it'll work fine. But it also can use the back door into Moom, right? You use the Shortcuts. Yeah. You can call an Apple script in there and have it use the Moom trick to set them up any way you want. Some stuff that it does that is really cool is you can put the mouse in a specific application or even UI script and make it do specific things. Like I built one for Grammarly, and Grammarly's web interface for the longest time was really, really rough. But they had a button that looked like a certain image, and if you clicked it, you could create a new, and that there was no other way to script that. They have subsequently fixed it, but in the early days, Grammarly was just not very automation friendly. So I would have it look for that icon on the screen and push the button with the mouse. That's something that I think you could only do with Keyboard Maestro. And then it would paste the contents of the clipboard in. So it was very clever the way I did it, but it was also very, what's the word for it? A little bit rough, you know, anytime you're, your UI scripting, you never know if it, it may fail to trigger or something. But you can absolutely build these setups right in Keyboard Maestro.
Yes. Yeah, you can. And one of the things I'm going to recommend for folks who perhaps, like David, deal with different screen resolutions, or maybe it's as simple as sometimes you are in an office and sometimes you're working from home and you have different, you know, a different number of monitors attached or different screen resolutions. Now, Keyboard Maestro has a nice function built in for screen count. And this will tell you the number of screens that are attached. And that sounds very simple, very basic, but it's very useful. There's also another function for USB devices where you can check if a particular USB device is connected. So, for example, if you have a different mouse or something like that at home versus at the office, then you can check whether or not the mouse is plugged in. And then use that to, you know, position windows and do things slightly differently. And this is where Keyboard Maestro is really so incredibly powerful, because it's for scripting and it can script setups as part of that. But it is a scripting application. So it has all of those amazing, powerful automation functions that David and I know and love. And you can use them in your setups. And I regularly use the screen count or USB devices functions to, or as conditions to check, okay, should I be doing this or should I be doing that? And you know, there's a whole bunch of things that you can do, because you can check if a screen is you know, visible, and get like the actual dimensions of it and so on. So you can figure out based on that, you know, if you're at home or if you're at work or if you've got, you know, your monitor set up on the left side or the right side at the moment, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, you can go very nerdy, but you also don't have to, because there are simple things like open this URL, which could be a URL to a web page, or it could be a URL to an OmniFocus folder or an Obsidian vault, you know, with URL schemes. And you can show files in Finder and all of those good things, which you can do, you know, with a bunch or keyboard shortcuts as well. So, you know, you can go very crazy and nerdy, or you can just have fun and keep it simple.
Yeah, I think one thing Keyboard Maestro does better than the other applications that we've discussed is multiple monitor support. With Keyboard Maestro, you can point it at any one of, you know, many monitors. At one point, I had three monitors, and I could Keyboard Maestro and point a window at, say, put this on the bottom half of window of screen three, you know, and it would do that. And these other apps aren't as stable, in my experience, addressing multiple monitors. So if you're somebody with a bunch of screens, Keyboard Maestro is probably the end point for you on this, because you can really put these setups to work, putting, you know, the, you know, the dials you need on the right screen and the text on the left screen, whatever it is you need to do. It makes multiple window or multiple monitor very simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The advantage of something like Moom is if it's just like, oh, move this to like the right half of my monitor, it doesn't care what monitor you're on. It doesn't care about the size of the monitor and so on. But if you're saying, hey, position these 17 applications across my four monitors, and you currently only have two, it's going to run into a difficulty, because what does it do with the other two monitors? Which two monitors do you have? Yeah. And so for that, you'll want to have, you know, saved multiple Moom screen, Moom setups, so that you can say, you know, this with four monitors, this with two monitors, if that's something that you do regularly. But Keyboard Maestro has the advantage of being able to do maths. So it can calculate things. And that means that you can say, okay, so if I have three screens attached, then calculate, you know, the midpoint. So what is the center of X and Y on my center monitor? And then put that right there. And this is actually something I use as a little hack that I found on the Keyboard Maestro forums ages ago, to always make sure that the Keyboard Maestro dialogues appear in the center of my screen. That was something that I really like. And I will find a link to that actually and pop that in, because that's just something that's perhaps useful to know that you can do with Keyboard Maestro, because you don't have to do it to just Keyboard Maestro windows. Of course, you can do this to any windows, make sure that they appear front and center. But it's quite a nice little exercise in figuring out, you know, how do you handle window, you know, management a little bit better with Keyboard Maestro perhaps.
Yeah, I really feel like, you know, Keyboard Maestro is is perfectly adequate for this. There is one caveat, and that is the pause command. When doing this in Keyboard Maestro, you have to tune the setup to adjust for the load time. And I know Keyboard Maestro has a command that says wait until this is done before you do that, but I don't find that 100% reliable. And what you don't want is have a setup trigger and not give you what you need, and then you're frustrated and feel like you wasted your time. So when I do these setups in Keyboard Maestro, I generously use pauses. Sometimes a 0.5 second or maybe a 2 second, or it just depends on what I'm asking it to do. But often I find that giving it a little time between each command guarantees success. And if I, you know, we're talking like a total of 5 seconds between all the commands, if they're just little 0.5 second pauses. But so it really doesn't slow you down enough to matter, but it makes it more stable. Whereas with shortcuts, everything works without those pause commands, which is a real advantage.
Yes. Yeah, it certainly can be if you're okay with the other limitations that you may have through shortcuts.
Yeah.
The pausing in general with Keyboard Maestro is something I really like. So, you know, when we record automators, we use Zoom to talk to each other. You know, we could use FaceTime, or we've previously used Skype way back. And, you know, there's plenty of options. But Zoom has a great feature for keep on top, which means that I can see the little audio button in Zoom that I could use to mute myself, but I can also actually see that the input levels are going up and down. Now, I can see it's an audio hijack as well, but every so often, you know, maybe macOS changes my input or something, and it's nice to be able to see that you're still able to hear me. And so one of the things that I have, and this isn't necessarily a setup, it's actually just waiting. Keyboard Maestro is watching for whenever Zoom activates or the Zoom window title changes. And if it's a Zoom meeting, that's the window title, then it checks whether or not the keep on top menu item is marked. And if it is not marked, then it clicks it. And marked is when it's got a check next to it, because keep on top is just a menu item that gets a check or doesn't have a check, depending on what you do. And that's something I can do with Keyboard Maestro very easily. It's nice to be able to just say, hey, like, do this series of menu commands in this application. And, you know, you can do that with other apps, but it gets a little bit tricky. And so the fact that, you know, Keyboard Maestro is able to do that is great. And I have to say, you know, I kind of feel like I'm cheating, David, because I am using Bunch, but Bunch is running shortcuts and Keyboard Maestro. Yeah. So I'm gonna use that to claim myself as the victor, or a victor in today's episode, because we don't actually win. We're not seriously competing against each other. But I think that is, you know, the thing that I would like everybody to, you know, take away from this. Of anybody can use setup apps, and you should definitely have a little play with it. You know, maybe you always need to be able to display, you know, this PowerPoint, this Excel sheet, and you know, you want you know, the Microsoft Teams window to be on the left hand side of your screen while you are, you know, doing a monthly meeting or something. That's a great use case to, you know, have a little play with this. You don't have to use the setup every single day. You could use it once a month or once every 6 months, as long as it works for you when you need it. But have a little play and, you know, give it a try with the apps that you already have. Alfred can do some of this as well with the workflow engines. I'm sure Raycast can. I need to spend more time playing with Raycast again. But, you know, all of these apps can do so many things. But also, unlike Ghostbusters, don't be afraid to cross the streams. If you know shortcuts can do this step, create a shortcut that does that step. And then just call that from Keyboard Maestro or Bunch or, you know, an Alfred command, an Alfred workflow, or whatever it is that you want. And yeah, it's, you know, it's nice to be able to just have a little play, figure out what it is that you want or need to do with these things, and go from there. You know, because one of my bunches, actually most of my bunches for recording podcasts, they open a new Safari window. You know, they go through and they open a series of URLs. But, you know, sometimes I need certain URLs open in certain applications. Like when I'm recording iOS Today, we use Google Sheets, and I open that in Edge because Chrome-based browsers tend to work better. And I'm playing with Microsoft Edge at the moment, so I can do that. And that's something that I can easily do, and that I don't have to remember of, oh, yeah, I was going to open that in Edge. It's in Safari now. It's fine. But you know, it's nice. It's simple. It's easy, and it works very well for me.
Yeah, this stuff is really forgiving, and like we've been saying throughout the show, it's just really easy to build up a set of these and have them, you know, you can duplicate them, and suddenly you make one or two good ones, and before you know it, you do have 20. And once you have 20, that just means that's 20 things you can get started on automatically without, you know, a bunch of work. So it really is worth doing, setting up these setups. I strongly recommend it. And I feel like people don't do this enough. You know, occasionally I hear from someone's like, oh, I finally tried it and now I get it. And that's the reason we made this show today. I just want people to try this, because when you go through your day and your computer mm-hmm. sets itself up for you, it just means you get your work done faster and you stay on target better. And all of those benefits are just waiting for you.
Mm. And I'm going to just preempt some potential feedback of, well, you could use login items on your Mac to automatically have these applications open when you start your Mac. Absolutely, 100% you can. But have you ever restarted your Mac and just needed to do something really quickly, and then like six different applications start bouncing in your dock because Mac OS just installed an update and things are there going and trying to check whether or not they need to update. Can they run on this new version of Mac OS and so on? And you're there and it's like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, sometimes even longer before you can use your Mac. I try to avoid using login items for that reason, because I can have Bunch run at startup, but anything actually that I do with Bunch where I say, hey, run this at startup, I actually have it ask me. So it'll pop up and go, hey, do you want to do your standard work setup? Because you're on this machine, so I'm asking if you want to do your standard work setup. And I can say yes, or I can say no. And sometimes it's nice to not have, you know, have had to pre-decide everything for your login items. And also, you know, some apps just automatically add themselves to that list, which is really annoying. And then you're there going, okay, well, I didn't need Numbers opening on startup. Numbers has never done that to me, but, you know, sometimes yeah. You'll install a new app and, you know, it's giving you 20 dialogues and like it looks like it's the same dialogue six times, but it turns out one of them in the middle, yeah, that was adding it to the startup menu items list. And then you've got another thing opening on startup. So I try to avoid those, because that way I can really tailor it for what I want. You know, even if I'm working every day when I open my Mac, sometimes I'm going to go straight into a meeting. Sometimes I will be, you know, actually just sitting down doing coding. Sometimes I just need to review some stuff that other people have written. And I am not going to be doing my own stuff for a little bit, so I don't need all those applications open, and I can wait until I'm ready for it. And that is, you know, the advantage of having setup apps. Maybe you do exactly the same thing at the same time every day. Great, go ahead, schedule those automations if you want. Or maybe you just want to have a little bit more freedom in your life. But yeah, combined with something like a Stream Deck for any of these options, it can be really nice. But even if you're not using that, if you're going to use shortcuts, actually, I would recommend putting a little, use the shortcuts add to dock option for the setups, and then drag all of those into a folder and then put that folder in your dock instead. So you can actually remove the individual items from your dock and then have a little folder so that you can have, you know, click on the folder and then ta-da, I'm going to click this one, click that one, and then you don't have 20 shortcuts across the bottom of your dock, but it's nice and fast to open. Or, you know, a little bit of self-promotion, use focus cuts.
Yeah, focus cuts. Okay, so triggering them, I want to talk about that for a minute, because we've been jumping amongst the apps, but the actual process of doing a setup, to me, I've tried, like I said earlier, I used to do it on a conflict palette in Keyboard Maestro. You know, I had the Hyper key mm-hmm. plus S would open up a list of all of them, and I could just, you know, pick the one I want and off to the races. At some point along the way, as I continued to accumulate Stream Decks, I had the extra button real estate to set up some Stream Deck buttons for it. But even then, I have too many. Like, I have 20 of them, so I can't, like, take 20 buttons on my Stream Deck for all of them. So I have them kind of topically arranged where, you know, like the Max Sparky ones, it might take two button clicks to do. I've been looking at this Stream Deck Neo thinking maybe this could just be a setup machine, and I'm definitely thinking about that. But I do like putting them on the buttons, and it doesn't really make sense. You could absolutely tie these to a keyboard shortcut, but I find it extremely satisfying pushing a button and having my computer say, yes, sir, I will set myself up for you to do this important work. And things, windows fly around and things set up, and then I can take a sip of tea and get to work. How about you?
Yeah. I mean, I predominantly use a combination of, I'm using Bunch, so I have the menu bar application up there, which even though I've been playing actually with a variety of different apps recently, seeing if I can replace Bartender, but it's never hidden. It's always visible in my menu bar. It's up, you know, sort of near my focus mode in the time. And so I have that there. And I also have certain ones available on the Stream Deck. And the Stream Deck, you know, it changes the buttons that are available to me depending on what I'm doing and various other things. So, you know, I do have different ones appear and disappear there, which is pretty nice. I forgot to mention, I've just realized, David, I feel very bad because this is a key thing that I use all the time in Bunch. You can choose to hide certain bunches. So you can sync your whole bunch folder, but you can hide certain bunches on certain machines based on like the ID of the machine or various other things. And it's a really useful thing because, for example, during my standard working day, I don't want my podcasting stuff showing up. So I hide it from the menu, but that's only the podcast recording. Podcast prep stuff, I still have that visible. And while I'm doing podcast recording, podcast prep is hidden and so on and so forth. So that's, you know, that's quite useful for me.
All right, big question. I know your answer to this, but the question is, what tools are we using to do setups? So your answer, I assume, is Bunch, right? That's the one.
Yeah, it's Bunch, but it also calls Apple scripts, which some of the scripts actually I keep in Fast scripts, which we haven't really talked about using Apple script as a way to do all of your setups. You can do that. And if you're going to do that, I highly recommend Fast scripts as a great little menu bar application where you can just click it, go a little script, and then it goes, ta-da, here's a list of your scripts. That's great. So yeah, I primarily use Bunch, but it calls out to Apple script and shortcuts and Keyboard Maestro and so on as well, because honestly, it's the great combination of everything together that works super well for me. There's no one app that can do everything, but Bunch is the place where I kick off all of my setups.
It's kind of the glue, right? It just kind of holds it all together for you.
Yes.
So I came into this experiment with Keyboard Maestro as my primary. And one thing I have definitely decided in this experience is that I'm moving out of Keyboard Maestro. And this isn't any knock against Keyboard Maestro. I use that app for all sorts of stuff. But I do feel like Bunch clearly is made for this. And as a result, it's a little better and I think a little easier and a little bit more understandable and reliable. So I think Bunch is probably superior to Keyboard Maestro for this task. Now, granted, Bunch doesn't do a lot of things that Keyboard Maestro does otherwise. So, you know, I choose to use all the tools, but for setups, Bunch is very attractive to me, but also Shortcuts is so easy. And like I said, I built you know, 20 of these things over the course of a month. And I wasn't really feeling hamstrung by it. I felt like, yeah, just running out of Shortcut is the easiest. It's so consistent. You don't have to call out to Shortcuts. Everything is right there. So I am a little torn. I know I'm not going to use Keyboard Maestro. And for now, I'm building them in Keyboard Maestro and Bunch. I'm experimenting. And I'm trying to figure out if the extra work of Bunch is worth it for me or not. And I haven't settled on an answer to that question yet, but I think I'll get there pretty soon.
I'm going to say, because you take challenges from your Labs members of like, hey, swap this application for that. I feel like Bunch is better for you in that respect, because then you can search for everywhere where you're using, I don't know, Safari and replace it with Chrome or Edge or something like that, so that you can, you know, open all of those URLs in those particular applications. You can also set your default browser there. But, you know, if you were trying things as an experiment for those awesome Mac Sparky fans, then you could switch out OmniFocus for things in one place and you'd be able to find it. And it's also, you can comment out lines in a bunch.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can do that means that you can keep all of the OmniFocus things there and then add like a things line instead. And then if you decide to switch back, you just need to go and remove the things lines and go to and uncomment the OmniFocus lines and you're done.
Yeah.
And you're back to how you were. And that, for me, is incredibly powerful. Where are all the places I'm using Audio Hijack? There's a whole bunch of them. I can find them. I can't so easily do that with shortcuts. It's a lot easier with Keyboard Maestro. But yeah, I just find the fact that it's text files in Bunch makes it a lot easier for me.
I also find in Bunch working with URLs and specific documents is much easier in files. So I'll probably end up just with everything in Bunch, but it's not an obvious answer. I mean, I think that for a lot of people, shortcuts is just fine.
Yes, it really is. And honestly, if you are there going, ooh, it feels like this, you know, this is something that's appealing to me. I'm intrigued, but I don't know if I'm ready to do more than stick a toe in with shortcuts. It's a great choice. It's very simple, very easy to see what you're doing. The only recommendation I'd make if you're going to do this in shortcuts, create a folder for setups and then prefix everything with setup. So that you know all of those shortcuts are related to doing setups. And that also means that you can then, if you want to, pull those into Alfred, say, with, you know, one of Stephen Millard's fabulous creations. It's Bypass for Shortcuts. That's the one.
Yeah.
Then you'll be able to see all of those really quickly. And I think that this is, you know, Shortcuts is a really great place to get started for that.
Agreed. Either way, I believe in the religion of setups. If you have not tried them, we released the show on Friday for a reason. You got some time this weekend. Make a simple one. Download the download the shortcut I shared and just start running it and, you know, modify it a little bit and start down the path. I guarantee if you try this stuff, you'll quickly realize, number one, it's not that hard. Number two, it's very easy to duplicate and make a bunch of these things. And before you know it, you are using setups every day and your life is easier. So please check it out.
Yes, definitely.
All right. We are the Automators. You can find us over at relay.fm/automators. Want to thank our sponsors this week, ExpressVPN and LinkedIn. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. And you know who else is helping us keep the lights on? That's the Automators Max supporters. You can learn about that over at relay.fm/automators. You can sign up there for the ad-free extended version of the show. I will tell you that the Max supporters are a huge reason we're able to keep the lights on around here. So please check it out if you're interested. And for Automators Max, we're going to be talking about Apple Intelligence First Looks. Otherwise, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye, folks.